I'm glad that God chose me. Yeah, I enjoyed Wednesday night hearing the three brothers talk about what they talked about. But the one that stood out to me the most was Brother James talking about prayer.
Amen.
And if you didn't know how to pray, when he was done, you knew how to pray.
That's right.
Because he more or less laid out a format on the right way to approach God.
That's right.
And the way he brought it, I'd never seen it that way before.
Right.
And was in a way that caught my attention.
Oh my.
And I, you know, this place is so great. You know, God gives us everything we need.
Yes, he does.
Amen.
He does.
I want to sing a couple of worship songs myself, so I'm going to help these brothers out. But also, I want to sing Fill My Cup.
Amen. Yes.
It's good to be back.
It is.
And God's worthy of our praise.
Amen.
Amen.
And so I just want to worship him a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I brought a big cup in here this morning.
Amen.
With a lot of expectation.
Yes.
Fill it up.
And I got a God that's more than able to fill that cup up.
Yes.
So I'm expecting Brother Dustin.
Yes.
Yes.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul.
Praise him too much, and I don't think our cups will ever stop getting full. Every time I walk in these doors, just all the time, I need the word, you know. My yes. life depends on the word, and I just praise God for being able to receive this word, you know, to yes. hear it and to read it, and as we say, keep it, you know. And that's my goal. That's my what I want more than anything. I want to give my grandfather Cecil some flowers today. He was the one who kind of introduced me to, I went to the Church of God, you know, and I did all the praying last Wednesday's night message kind of brought it to my mind. You know, with him, he walked and he talked to God. And that put that in me as a little girl, you know. I thought, well, he don't get down and just pray on his knees, you know. He don't just do it formally like what I was taught to do formally, you know. And that type of thing. And he was just walking and waving his arms, you know, and talking to God on the farm. He had two different farms. And then when I visit him, you know, that's Amen. What I witnessed. That's what I saw. And I thought, that's the way I want to serve God, you know. Right, just Amen. Be part of the situation, you know. And to walk and talk with him, just be one with him. And that's what I get here. And that's what I love and I appreciate. And I know I'm going to wish all of you fathers and grandfathers happy Father's Day, too. And know that it does make a difference in the children and the grandchildren that you are raising, you know, and you and they're watching, and they know. And I was blessed to have my grandfather, Cecil, because he put the God in me originally. I mean, he started the process. God placed him there for a reason, and I'm just thank God I had that honor.
Thank God for his goodness and his mercy today. This week, the Lord, I share with you what the Lord did with me. You know, I was running for Jesus, you know, for a long time. But then I began to look at myself and I said, how much have I really surrendered? And so I've been looking at more surrender. And I said, I wake up like I do, Brother Duskins, with you. And many of you, I wake up in the middle of the night and I say to the Lord, I said, can we talk? And he brought this song to my mind. He said, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege, like you were saying, Sue, to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless. I said, Lord, it's needless for me to bear anything. Can we talk? So I'm going to ask Brother Warren to come over here. I came to magnify his name. He's
right.
He's been good to me.
Yes.
Thank God for all the fathers we have at the cross. All the fathers here, without them, you know, we wouldn't be anything. I give honor to my pastor, my husband. He is the greatest man that I know of. He has led me all this way. I would be nothing without him. He is endlessly patient when I burn the toast. but he still said I could go. I thank God that when you feel like you're holy, you ain't no better. And if you feel like you ain't doing so good, you're no worse. So I'm just going to play a song for you guys.
Thank you.
that I'm going to get up here and say this because I'm getting out of my comfort zone. It was inspiring to see the brothers up here. And I said, you know, I sat back there on that chair, and I was on fire. I was about to get up and just bust. So, and I sat in that chair, and in my spirit, I was like, I want to run around this church. Right. And I just sat there.
No.
And I said, you know, for so many years, when I was in London, I sat there.
Uh-huh.
And I said, when I come, I'm not going to do that.
No.
I'm not going to do that. So, if anybody want to join me, I'm
not going to do that. Amen. Amen.
Nothing wrong with that.
I got a cut in line here. God's been good to me. You know, on the way to church, well, before church, I was just taking out the trash. And the neighbor across the way from me that I see him in passing, I might say hi. That's about it. But he wished me a happy Father's Day. I didn't go into details, tell him I don't have any children. But I go, you know what? Thank you. I go, you know, you touch God. You know, it doesn't matter. He doesn't go to church. You know, I clearly he doesn't go to church. And but he touched God.
Amen.
And because of that, you know, he's got a one-way ticket. As far as I'm concerned, I could take his household with me because they
Amen.
Both don't go to church. But, you know, that's one neighbor.
Thank you.
You know, touch God. And then on the other side of me, I've got another neighbor that's he's not impressing God. Let's just put it that way. But, you know, I'm just waiting for an opportunity. You know, I I've been praying. That was one of my unspoken requests this neighbor that I had. I just want him to see the God that's in me. You know, that, you know, maybe he'll repent or something. They'll repent, but, you know, I want to take them too. But, you know, they just got to do a little better, I guess. I don't know. But I thank God because that goes back to the revelation that I have, you know, that we get here. You know, I get here. Personally, I get here. You know, the ministry here, where they just bring it word upon word upon word, you know, and this revelation just keeps getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And, you know, I'm not going to jump the gun. I do enjoy the ride. But I am looking forward to that final revelation that we're going to have to get that body changed, you know.
Yeah.
I've had enough, but, you know, while we're here, we're just going to keep pressing on.
That's right.
But,
amen.
You know, I also wanted to say that I was just reading a little bit in the church age, and when the children of Israel were going through Canaan, they had to go by Moab, I believe, which are kinfolk to the children of Israel, if I understand that correctly. But the king didn't want the children of Israel to pass by because he saw them as a threat. So he wanted Balaam to go down and put a curse on them.
Yeah,
right.
The thing of it is, you know, God had his hand of protection. He fed the children of Israel.
Amen. Amen.
He, you know, he provided shade for them during the day and light at night. And, you know, God was looking down on the children of Israel because there was the promised seed that had to come. You know, not everybody made it, but there were two out of the million. But from those two out of the million, there had to be this, the royal seed that I am a member of, and I thank God for that. But you know, it's that God wasn't looking at the children of Israel's faults. He was seeing the promise, you know, that promise that he gave Abraham, that unconditional promise that I have, you know. And so it's just that, look at God. I mean, he God was just so full of rich mercy and grace. And, you know, he wasn't looking at the children of Israel's hinder side. He was looking at them as they were the children. Yeah, the promise. And amen. That's how we have God looking at us. Thank you know, we're that promise. Of course, you know, if you want to look at my flesh, it's just full of faults. You know, I fall on my face daily. But it's not that. It's just that I have something on the inside. That on the inside is what God sees. I've got representation. And I just thank God that I just, you know, all the times that I've been in this church and I left and I come back, and it was for a reason. Oh, yeah. You know, it might just be that, you know, the ones that left, you know, I might be a testimony against them. I don't know. He's got, you know, in his infinite wisdom, he's got all that said.
Amen.
But I just thank God I have one more opportunity to set my foot back in here and hear the word for my day. And it's just something that I love and something that I look forward to hearing. And I just keep coming back. Oh, Lord, I just thank you. You've just been too good to me. Amen.
When he was singing that song, Praise His Holy Name, how many times have I heard that song here? But this time it made a little bit different sound.
Yes.
I thought that was like, wait a minute. I took his name.
Right.
Yeah.
Praise our holy name.
Yes.
I don't care about Michael Prater. It's the Bride of Jesus Christ. That Amen. Name is more important yes. to me than anything else. I know people here has to identify me as that. And they'll be blessed by it. But no. I'm not going to separate myself in any way from the word itself. It's our holy name. And I'm just so grateful for that, that I can finally see that song just a little bit different. Thank you. Thank you. That was very helpful for me when you were saying that. That meant a lot to me that I can see things just a little bit different, just a little bit tweaked, just a little bit different.
Amen.
I'm just so happy to be here right now.
Yes.
I just wanted to go on record, right? You know, it's only by faith I've even made it this far.
Amen.
And, you know, it's by faith that Abraham, he believed God.
Yes.
And it was by faith that Moses was able to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And it's by faith that we're going to get that body change and press through this life
with much
more to spare. And since everybody's getting their praise on, I just wanted to sing a song. Right. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He's never failed me yet. I'm singing, this far by faith, we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He never fails.
The Bible says it's by grace through faith. And it also says that of some that the word of truth didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith. You know, that's the only difference there is. The word of truth doesn't change.
That's right.
It's just your faith in that word of truth. And that's the struggle. It's the only struggle we got is believe his word. Everything else God's already took care of. You say, oh, yeah, troubles in my flesh. He's already took care of that.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time. Don't worry about that.
Right.
But just believe his word. You know, the Bible says that seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. To me, that's believe his word first. All these things be added unto you. Not just natural things, not just the things you need, the things you just, even the things you want, but the body change. You know, these signs follow them that believe, not before. It's all faith, all by faith. And I'm so thankful I have that faith. You know, that grace and faith is a pretty good combination. It goes really well together. It works everything out. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the humility of the word. You know, he won't let you get too exalted. And I'm thankful for that, because we as humans, if we're not thinking we're not good enough, we're thinking we're too good. We're thinking beyond what we, you know. So I'm thankful that the word keeps everything in balance. And I really, really, truly praise him for that. You know, I love it when humility comes, because then you can look at things just right. Then you can look at yourself just right. And it's not that, you know, you're nothing. No, you just know what he's made you.
Yes.
You know, you're something, but he made you that.
Amen.
And there was one song on my heart, you know, Jesus paid it all. And
Amen.
We've been trying to sing that for all service, but praise God. Let's sing it now.
It's 2:11.
2:11. Amen.
Yes, he did.
He's done it all.
Yes.
And my faith is what makes it work for
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all.
Jesus paid it all.
Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Paid it all to him.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me my all in all. For Jesus paid it all to heal my own. Oh, sin has left his crimson stain. He washes white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spot and melt the heart of stone. For Jesus paid it all to heal my own. Sin has left its crimson stain. He washes white as snow. For Jesus paid it all to heal my own. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, we know in ourselves we can do nothing. But we can clearly see by you coming and paying the price that you covered everything, every problem, every trouble, every trial, every failure. Lord, you covered it all in the blood. And Lord, now when you look through that blood and you see me white as snow. You don't see my problems. You don't see my shortcomings. You don't see my failures. But Lord, you see a son of God who's walking after the word of God. And Lord, you have come and you've made a way in such a way that we can walk this walk. We can do this thing because you paid the price for it. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for this opportunity to come back to the house of God one more time. Thank you for this word that we're about to receive, Lord. Ask you to just take it and melt it and break it down to us in such a way that, Lord, it can give us the strength that we need for the journey. Lord, those who are not here this morning that may be out with sickness, we ask you to touch their bodies. Lord, bring healing to them. Let them look to you, Father, for healing and deliverance. For you're the one that you paid the price for that as well. Lord, those who are out, maybe because they're out with services and sickness, and some are out with funerals, Lord, we ask you to move on them and ask you to touch them, Father. Give them comfort in this hour of need, Lord Jesus. Father, those that may be on vacation, Lord, their heart's desire, even though they may be away, is to be in the house of God. And Lord, we ask you to bless their time away and bring them back home safely to us. Lord, the word that we have here, oh, it's so good, so rich. It means everything to us. And Lord, we ask you to break it down to us, make it clear to us so that, Father, we can use it so that we can walk this walk. And Lord, you strengthen us for the journey. Thank you for all you've done. Bless this waiting congregation who's looking to hear from you, because Lord, you did pay it all. And we come to give you the glory and the thanksgiving for all that you've done for us. Ask you to be with us throughout the remaining of the service. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Brother Moore, I just got a text that James is awake.
James is awake.
And it made you laugh. When he woke up, you know the first thing he did? He was singing Through It All.
Amen. Amen. James is awake. Praise God. Amen. That is so good to hear. And, you know, they had last Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday or last Sunday, they had taken a phone and put it up to James' ear. And just he can hear the service. He says you may not be able to say anything, but he could hear the service. And now this morning he's awake, so praise God for that. If you could see where he's brought me from to where I am today, then you'd know why I love him so. Oh, my goodness. It's good to know that. Thanks, Jeremiah. You done messed me up.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's good to be here. You know, people around the world have been praying for Jay. Yes. And I don't know if he's listening this morning, but Jay, we love you.
Yes. Yes.
We've been praying for them. We got work to do.
Yes.
We got work to do.
Amen.
So, amen. God bless him. And, you know, when trouble comes your way, and you depend on God, and you see God move, oh, it just makes you want to rejoice, yes. Makes you want to shout, makes you want to run the aisles, yes. Yes. Makes you want to sing, makes you want to pray.
Amen. Amen.
Because we know that God is real.
Yes.
And he can help you no matter what condition you're in.
Yes.
All you got to do is get the word in there. And you get the word. David said, I have hid the word in my heart, that I might not sin or disbelieve against thee. So David didn't sin because he had the word in his heart. We can't sin because we have the word in our heart. I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care what the devil throws you away. You are more than a conqueror. Through Jesus Christ that strengthens you. Sometimes you got to go through some dark places. Sometimes you got to go to places that seem like there's no way out. Sometimes you don't even know which way to turn, but just know this, that God's going to see you through. No matter what, God will see you through, because he promised in his word he would do that. Thank God for his word. If it wasn't for the word of God, we'd have no hope. We wouldn't even know how to turn. I'm so thankful that he gave us the word, because that word of reconciliation, it reconciled us back to him. And now all that belonged to him belongs to us. Healing belongs to us. Revelation belongs to us. Salvation belongs to us. A new heaven and a new earth belongs to us. Healing is not too much for God. If you got a problem this morning and you feel like you are on your last leg, just look unto the hills which cometh your help, because it comes from the Lord. And he will supply whatever you have need of. Some people don't need healing. Some people need a way out. Some people just need answers. Some people need understanding. See, it's not always just healing.
Right.
Not healing of the body. Sometimes it's healing of the soul.
Right.
Sometimes it's healing of the mind.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need a little strength along the journey, because you've gotten weak and Satan has gotten you down and he's backed you in a corner. But always remember this, when Satan backs you in a corner, God will put a hole in that wall, because he can never stop you. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. There's so many scriptures that you have on your side. How could you be down and out when God's word has so many promises in there for you? And if you could just hold to God's unchanging hand and let him do the work, because he's going to do it himself. He don't even expect you to do it. He will do it himself. If you're down, God will lift you up. If you're in trouble, God will make a way. If you have sickness, God will heal you. See, it's got to be him. He's going to do the work. It's not even you.
All he wants you to do is have faith in God. Yes. Have faith in his word. Yes. Have faith that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. And when they say you can't, God says you can. Amen. That's the kind of God I serve. Yes. It is so good. That's amazing. That's God. Amen, well, I want to get over here and read in the scriptures. Good to see Brother Bean here this morning. Amen. Good to have him here. Good to have you all here. And Don and John and family, they're going over. They're having Denise's memorial today. So they all went, and they left Jeremiah home alone. So I invited him over for dinner. But God bless them. Pray for Dawn and them as they do. That is hard. You're losing your loved one like that. You say, well, they got a revelation. You do too. But when you lose your loved one, it hurts. I don't care who you are. You might have a revelation. Let me come and punch you in the nose. See if it hurts. You know, don't over spiritualize everything. You know, when my brother passed away, I walked in there and I was trying to be stoic. And God told me, he said, you can cry. He said, Jesus wept. And I let it go because I thought, you know, I don't have to hold it up. Just be real. Be real. If it hurts, it hurts. If it's a loss, it's a loss. My mother's been gone, I don't even know how many years, but it's still, they say, well, you'll get over it. You never get over it. You replace and you move around, but you never fill that slot in your life. And so, no, you don't get over it. You get around it. You make a way. Amen. So pray for the Brinkmans and Dawn and Darsha and just remember them. Continue to remember Trevor. He's still trying to do recovery just like everybody else. We're trying to get on our feet. And so just remember him. Remember Sister Judy down there in Kentucky. She's been having some problems. And remember the Earlys in Florida. Now I'll be heading out, Lord willing. I've got a funeral to do on Tuesday morning. And then after the funeral, Clarice and I are going to go directly to the airport and fly out of Kentucky and go to the Earlys. And we'll be at the Earlys the rest of the week. So we won't be here on Wednesday night. Jeremiah's got it Wednesday. And we're having Brother Alex come, and he's going to be speaking for us on Wednesday night. So Jeremiah lucked out. I didn't have to do any work. But I'll be back, Lord willing, before Sunday service. But then now, a week from Wednesday, Jeremiah's got another business trip, right? No, you'll be gone. You'll be gone. This is vacation, finally. So he'll be gone. So, brothers. Now, I could preach Wednesday night. I know I could. I ain't going to, though. I'll just let you, brother. So, y'all brothers, y'all were surprised at Wednesday. You thought, well, looky here. God can move through the brothers. Yes. He's in the body. They're a part of the body. So, you brothers get ready, and a couple of you, two or three, or however you want to do it, we'll do the same as we did before. But they learned a valuable lesson. Wednesday, if you don't volunteer first, you don't get to go first. At least that's the way it went at Wednesday. And so don't wait. Speak out and make your request known, and we'll get things together. I'm enjoying it. And you never know what God will do. You say, you're always looking for ministers. Yes, I am. God may bring one out of there. I pray he does. I pray he does, because we can use the help. And Jay's right now, and he can't help us, but you can help him. You can help us. So keep that in mind. So those are the announcements that I have coming up. So I want to talk this morning. I want to go over to the book of Revelations. And you say, we're always in Revelations. That's where we're living. And that's the one book that everybody's afraid of. And I like it the way somebody said it. They said, out of all the books that are in the Bible, Revelations is the only one that Jesus wrote himself. And that's the very book that everybody's scared of. It's because they don't have an understanding. So I want to go over here, and I had written something a couple of weeks ago, and I wanted to preach it, but I was trying to put it off, and I was planning on waiting, but I thought, no, I'm going to go ahead and talk on it this morning. And I don't think I've ever, out of all of my years of preaching, ever talked on this, but I'm going to start over here in Revelations chapter 10, and I'm going to read the verses 1 through 7. Though we know it, we're going to read it together, and then we'll take it from there. And I saw another mighty angel, verse 1, come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face were as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, this is a chapter and verse that everybody that's in the message reads. This is a chapter and verse that Brother Branham read a lot. So I want to talk this morning, and the title of the message that I want to talk on this morning is The Sounding of the Seven Thunders. And I think out of all the years that I've preached, I looked in some of my notes and I went back and I don't think I've ever preached on the seven thunders. And Brother Childers preached on it a lot. But I looked through my notes and I never found it. And I told Jeremiah, I said, I'm going to preach on this. I've never preached on the seven thunders. And so I wanted to start here with this reading, because this is where we start when we try to find out what's going on in the day and hour that we're living in. Number one, we need to understand that mighty angel. Who that mighty angel is. That angel was not an earthly angel. That angel that came down from heaven. He, in order to see this angel, you got to understand the angel of Revelations 10 and 1 is the same angel of Revelations chapter 1. That same one who was there, that was in the midst of the candlesticks, the one that was there with the feet of brass, the one that was there with the rainbow upon his head in Revelations chapter 1, is the same one here in Revelations 10. But the thing about it, in Revelations chapter 1, all of that was happening in heaven. Everything that he described was happening in heaven. But when you get over to Revelations 10, that was happening on earth. So the same one that had this message, this whole big old plan of the building of the seven church ages that he did, the redemption story, that same angel in chapter 1 was there describing every age, every messenger, everything that he was going to be doing. But he did it in Revelations 1, but then he hid it. See, the thing about the book of Revelation, that book of Revelation was sealed. God purposely sealed the book totally, that nobody would understand what he was doing. So in chapter 1, when you look in that angel talking about the seven church ages, he said those things, but he said it, and John wrote it in symbol form. And when it's put in symbol form, you don't understand what's going on. You can't see what's happening. The reality of it isn't even there yet. Matter of fact, God played the whole seven church ages out in his mind before they ever manifested. John told us over there in Revelation chapter 1, he said, blessed is he that readeth, they that keep, heareth and keepeth the words of this prophecy. It was all prophecy. The whole book of Revelation was prophecy. Now, when you read the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were talking about history. And they were telling about what Jesus had done. And they told you how Jesus healed the sick and how he raised the dead and how he fed the 5,000. They told you all that Jesus had done. But when you get over to the book of Revelation, that was not history. That wasn't even current events. That was prophecy of things that are to be.
Amen.
And nobody knew what it was about. Nobody could understand what it was about. And that angel of Revelations 10:1 held it all. He was the only one who could understand it. He was the only one who could have it. He's the only one who wrote it. That's why Jesus wrote the book of Revelations.
That's right.
Jesus was the only one who could write the book.
Yeah.
And Jesus was the only one who hid the book.
Right.
And Jesus was the only one who could take the seals off.
Amen.
And Jesus was the only one that could bring it down here and reveal it to us, his word.
Amen.
It's all his work. It's all his doing. It's all his book. And it all happened in the book of Revelations.
That's right.
Isn't that amazing? The one book that nobody wants to read is the one book that everybody needs to read. But you can't just read the book of Revelations. Because this book was written such a way that you can't go navigate it. You can't figure it out. You're not going to figure out the book of Revelations. You're not going to get smart enough. You're not going to read enough. You're not going to get educated enough. Brother Branham said, this book will not be by your theology and your knowledge. It'll take a revelation from God to understand the book of Revelations. And the book of Revelations, if you don't understand that book, you don't understand any of the books.
Amen.
You really don't.
That's right.
They've had the Bible for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
They've been looking at the Bible for 2,000 years, and they've made a mess of the Bible.
Amen.
They got three gods out of it. They got false water baptism, and that's after 2,000 years of it.
Right.
So you don't even understand the regular Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John without the book of Revelations. Without the book of Revelations, you don't understand anything that God was doing.
Amen.
You're guessing, you're probing, you may hit it right, you may hit it wrong. They said a clock is right twice a day, even if it doesn't work. So a lot of people hit this Bible and they talk about things in this Bible and they hit a lot of good points.
Sure.
They do a lot of good things.
Right.
They know a lot of good knowledge. But when it comes to a revelation understanding, without the book of Revelations, you cannot see the Word of God.
No, sir.
Amen. So when we get over here to chapter 10, that mighty angel,
right.
He had to come now. But see, there's things that happened before chapter 10. You know, people were asking about the orders of the books and the orders they were in. And we were talking on Sunday night, and we were talking, was that when you preached or somebody? I can't remember when it was. But we said, you got to take certain books out of certain books and put them in certain areas. I was thinking today, I said, you got to even put chapter 10 somewhere. You got to put him right behind chapters 3. Because that happened before 4. Because 4 is the rapture of the church.
Amen.
So all these books in here, and I think Ted told me. He said what John did was took those writings and he scribbled them up and mixed them up. He mixed it all up. Where it was 1 through 22, John went in those scrolls, put this scroll in there and that scroll in there, and he put them. See, we're the ones that put the numbers in the chapters and verses. We put them in order. And the scrolls were just written like a letter. If you got a 10-page letter and you write a 10-page letter, you write it and you put it every page and you put the page number at the bottom of the page. Well, you drop that letter and you pick it up and you just pick it all up. You might have page 4 on top. And then you got page 6 here and page 1's on the bottom and page 5. And you got it all mixed. That's the way the book of Revelation is.
Amen.
Ted said John mixed it all up.
Right.
So that you won't be able to see it.
Right.
Not only was it in symbolic form, but it was written in such a way that you couldn't even follow it. You know, you can follow Matthew all the way through. From the birth of Jesus to the death of Jesus. It's all in order. It's all laid out. Everybody reads the book and they understand it perfectly. But when you get to Revelations, it's all mixed in together.
Amen.
That's why John said on purpose, when John, he's like, and then he put a note on top and says, blessed is he that readeth, and they didn't understand the word of this prophecy, because it's going to take God to show you this.
Yes.
When you can see this book, the time surely is at hand.
Yes. Amen.
So that's why I love what John put in there. That was a love note for us. That's a little footnote for us. You know, you can read the Bible and you can read where Schofield put footnotes in there. And he'll put a little letter by a word. And you go over to the center where the columns are, you read where that word is, or you go down to the bottom where you have the footnotes, and it'll explain everything. Well, John put a footnote in the book of Revelations, chapter 1, and right at the beginning, right on the top of it, and said, blessed is he that readeth, for the time is at hand. So see, John knew it. He knew what he was doing. And so we get over here, and we get to chapter 10, and it talks about this mighty angel, but you need to understand what he's doing. This mighty angel come down from heaven.
Amen.
Why? He brought something with him. Amen. It even tells him what he brought.
Amen.
That mighty angel was the Lord himself. Do you know Jesus is the only one that can reveal the book of Revelations?
Amen.
You didn't learn this on your own. Brother Branham didn't learn it on his own. None of us could learn on our own. It was God himself, Jesus, the author, the one who wrote it. He had to come down and interpret it himself. So in Revelation chapter 10, that mighty angel in verse 1 was the Lord himself.
Yes.
Now that sounds like Thessalonians. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and a voice and the trump of God. So Revelation 10 and Thessalonians 4 ties together.
Yes,
it's the same movement of God.
Yes,
see, God was moving, but he put a little more detail in Thessalonians than what he did over there in Revelations 10.
Amen.
But he did put all that in there, but you got to be able to understand in Revelations 10 to find the shout, the voice, and the trumpet.
Amen.
That mighty angel come down here, and he put his foot on the earth, land and sea. And when he came down, he had in his hand a little book open. What is that little book? And why is it open? In order to understand that, you got to go back over to chapter 5. You got to go back and look at what this book was. You got to go and look and understand why that it was so important. Do you realize that if that book, let's just flip over there. It's not my notes, but I think I won't finish this today. I just decided. So I'll give up. I'll just start it. I was sitting here thinking, I can't explain. I can't tell you what the angel did till I show you what he had done. And I'm going to mess my notes all up. That's all right. And chapter 5. What are you saying back there, Brother Lockie? Chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. There you go. The backside of that book had 7 seals. This book, whatever book this was, had 7 seals. And the 7 seals were there because God needed to hide something. And I saw a strong, that the book, let me just flat tell you, the book is the Bible. The word of God was hidden. It was sealed up. Man could not understand the Bible. You couldn't. I already told you, unless you had the book of Revelations, you won't understand the rest of the books. So with the seals on the backside of the book, you couldn't even really understand. You probed. That's why we had to have Jesus sit on the mercy seat for 7 ages. He sat there for the ignorance of man. Man was ignorant, but it was God's fault. God hid it. God blinded Israel. God blinded the Gentiles. God hid his word. And God had to stay there as mediator between God and man. For our well, if it wasn't for Jesus on the throne, we couldn't approach God. Because God cannot quicken false doctrine. God is not obligated to false doctrine. And if you have false doctrine, God will not touch you. But down through the ages, because the book was sealed with 7 seals, no man could open the book or to look thereon.
Right.
No man was worthy to read the Bible.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
It was in symbol form. They had the Bible, but it was in symbol form. They didn't understand what they were reading. That's why they got a Trinitarian water baptism. That's why they got denominations. That's why they got popes. That's why they got all these people that's got this stuff going on, because they misinterpreted the Bible and they made it to their own damnation. And Jesus said, because of your own traditions, you made the Word of God, the Word of God, the Bible, of none effect. Because man put their ideals on the Bible. See, anytime you don't have the revelation, you got your ideas. I don't care who you are. You're sitting here this morning. If God hasn't quickened something to you, you got your ideal on it. Brother Branham had his ideal on the Bible till the angel came. And when the angel came, the angel corrected him. He said, I was going to make a terrible mistake. I was going to come out here today and I was going to tell you something, but it wasn't according to the Word of God. And he said, the angel come into the room and corrected me. And when the angel comes, I have to stay with what the angel brings.
Amen.
So lack of revelation is automatically backfilled with traditions of men. We talk about darkness and light. Darkness doesn't run out light. Light runs off darkness. Revelation runs off unbelief. Revelation runs off traditions of men. And if you lack revelation, you lack understanding.
Amen.
But when you lack understanding, you will automatically fill it with your own ideas.
Right.
We've all done it. I've done it. You've done it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Come to the message. You come here full of your own ideas.
Right.
And what gets rid of your ideas is a revelation.
Right.
What gets you the mind of God is God speaks to you and reveals to you His Word.
Amen.
Up until that point, you say, well, I've read that scripture 100 times. And I read it this time, and now I see it means this. The light's on. God spoke to you. God revealed it. So the one who reveals the book is Jesus Christ Himself. And He stood in the gap as a mediator between God and man, because man was full of creeds. And man was ignorant to the Word of God, and the Word of God was sealed with 7 seals.
Amen.
Nobody knew what it was.
Right.
Nobody could get a revelation.
Right.
And it took God standing in a gap, Jesus Christ in the middle of that 7 ages, sprinkling His blood for the ignorance of man.
Amen.
That's how that worked.
Yeah.
People didn't even know what the blood was for. They don't even know why Jesus did what He did. They don't even know why He had to be a mediator between God and man. And what they don't know why He had to sit on the throne for 7 ages. He sat there as a priest, high priest, mediating between God and man because of our ignorance.
Amen.
Amen.
So this book was written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book? What book? The Bible.
Yeah.
You're not opening the Bible because you opened the book.
Yeah.
Right.
Come on.
To open the Bible is to open the understanding of it.
Right.
To get a revelation. An understanding is a revelation.
Right.
Who is worthy to give a revelation? There's only one that can give a revelation.
Amen.
That's why Jesus had to do it Himself.
Amen.
He didn't give it to John and said, John, you go do it. He didn't give it to somebody else and say, you go do it. He had to do it Himself.
Right.
So He sat there for 7 ages with the Bible sealed and men full of tradition and creeds trying their best to figure it out.
Right.
He said, I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who's worthy to open a book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man.
No
man. No M-A-N. That's why I don't worry about your goodness. That's why I don't worry about your holiness. That's why I don't worry about how smart you are. I don't worry about you because you need God just like I do.
Amen.
Amen.
No man in heaven. Look where he looked. See, it shows you God was, he was looking. John was looking everywhere. John's like, I got to find somebody. And he was caught up on the Lord's day. So he can see ahead.
Yeah.
He could see behind. He could see the living. He could see the dead. They were saying, no man, no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither on the earth. Nobody who's coming, nobody that is, or nobody who's died. You say, oh, well, somebody special is going to be born and come. Nobody. See, if you come from heaven, you're coming down to earth to manifest. You are worthy when you're in heaven. When you were in the mind of God, shouting for joy, you still were worthy. Nobody in heaven, nobody in earth, or nobody that's beneath the earth. Nobody who's coming, nobody who is, or somebody who's died.
Wow.
That included Adam.
Yeah.
That included Moses.
Yeah.
That included Jacob.
Yeah.
That included Isaiah. That included Israel, all Israel.
Amen.
Gentiles, Jews, David.
Right.
It included you.
That's right.
No man. In heaven, nor on earth, nor under the earth, was able to open the book. What book? The Bible.
Yeah.
When you see that book, realize that's the Bible.
Yeah.
It was sealed up. Nobody, because you cannot understand the Bible on your own.
Yeah.
I don't care how many seminaries you go to.
Yeah.
Go to all the seminaries you want. Take all the classes you want. Get all the education you want. You will never understand the Word of God on your own. Neither on earth was able to open the book. So the book was closed. It was sealed up. Nobody was worthy to open it, neither to even look on it. No man was worthy to even know what we know. I'm saying what we know. I'll get back to that. But no man was worthy to know what you know today. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. John was in trouble. John knew we were all in trouble. We couldn't understand what God was doing. We couldn't understand what God was trying to do for us. We couldn't understand anything. We're sitting there with a book that's closed in front of us, and when the book is closed, you don't know what's inside of it. You can guess, which is what we did. We probed, guessed, and God had to stand in the gap for us, but we didn't know what was on the inside. And John wept. He said, nobody's even worthy to look on it, let alone open the seals. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof.
Amen.
That Lion of the tribe of Judah was the only one who could loose the seals and open that book. You said, I thought you were talking about the thunders. I'm getting there. You got to get the book open first. You got to understand why the book was closed. You got to understand what the book is. You got to understand what God's plan was all about. And jump into the dessert ain't going to get you there. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. I thought they said it was going to be a lion. The lion is the lamb. It's just the difference in roles. Think about it. A lamb is a sacrificial animal. Not a lion. You'll have a hard time convincing a lion to sacrifice him. He'll sacrifice you. But a lion is the king. He's the king of the animals. He's the king of the animal kingdom. And they said the lion, the king's going to come forth. He's the only one that was worthy to open a book and to loose the seven seals. He's the only one that could do it. And that lion
was Jesus.
Amen.
And that lion stepped forth, but when John turned around and looked at the lion, he saw a lamb. That was a different role that Jesus had played. Remember, he was Son of God, Son of Man, and Son of David. As a King of Kings, he's Son of David. As a Lamb, he's Son of God. As a Lion, Son of Man. So when John turned to see him, he was looking for a lion. But Jesus had just finished paying the price. For 2,000 years, he had sat there on the throne, paying the price. The bloody lamb sitting there on the throne, being a mediator between God and man. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. He was the lamb. He was the one that was slain. He was the one that gave his life. So when John turned to look for the lion, he saw a lamb as it had been slain, not just a lamb. This lamb had paid the price. Amen. He'd already paid it. It was done. The price was paid. The lamb's role was finishing. He no longer needed to be a lamb. He no longer needed to be a sacrifice. He was coming forth because that book belonged to him. He paid the price for that book. He was the one who sealed the book up. He was the one that was only one worthy that could even loose the seals. This lamb has been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. Right there. Sent forth into all the earth. Now this lamb got up off the throne after the mediation was done, after redemption was paid for. After he stood there, you know, the price was actually paid at Calvary. But his meteor role as lamb to the entire body happened during the ages. Though the price was paid at Calvary, he sat there for 2,000 years waiting and negotiating between God and man. Because we'd get to an age and God would say, I got to destroy him. Just wait. I'm here. Forgive them. They know not what they're doing. That's what Jesus, that was what Jesus said when he was hanging on the cross. Forgive them. See, he was already playing a mediator. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they're doing. And they didn't, because the book was sealed. And they couldn't very well blame them because they didn't seal up the book. Jesus did. Jesus said, I've got it sealed, so I'm going to stand in the gap for mankind. But then after the end of the seventh age, at the end of the last trump, at the end of the last messenger, that angel steps up off the throne as a lion, but he looked like a lamb that had been past tense slain. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors. They were noisy up there. Which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. See, now the book's open. They got a new song.
Amen.
The book became a new book.
Amen.
And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hath redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and had made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. See, that lamb stood there in the gap between us and God. And he stayed there the entire time. But then the lamb comes forth, opens up the book, loosed the seals. Now they're saying, oh, we got a new song.
Amen.
But they were singing, they were dancing, they were having a good old time up there in heaven. They were doing all these things because a lamb had stepped forth and had taken the book and opened it up. Now they look inside. When John looked in that book, remember John's the type of the bride. When John looked in that book, John saw his name. And when he saw his name, he said, all heaven, all earth, and everything beneath the earth heard me crying. Because he was hollering and screaming because he knew who he was. Do you realize in the hour we're living in, this isn't just happening on earth. Heaven knows what's going on. Everybody down here, we know what's going on. And all the saints that went on before us, they all know what's going on. They all heard our voice. And that's the same voice, that's a resurrection voice. It's all one and the same. It's not different voices. It's not different movements. It's not different gods. It's not doing different things. It's God doing all these things, and all these moving parts was God doing it himself, changing his robes and morphia. God moving through the body. God moving through the heavens. God moving down on earth.
Amen.
It was still God. It was still his voice. It was still him. So they got a new song. They sang a new song. Heaven was lit up.
Yeah.
Because after all of this time, they finally understood what was going on.
Amen.
Do you realize how excited they had to be? Because God so hid it that the angels didn't know. God so hid it that the devil didn't know. God so hid it that Jesus didn't even know. But then when he opened up that book and loosed the seals, not only did John look over, oh, you know what? Anybody who could look would look. You know you cheat. Have you ever taken a test and the teacher has the answer sheet on her desk and you go to the restroom and you come back, you're like, you know you want to look. John wanted to look. He wanted to see it for himself. And John wasn't the only one to want to see. Overlooking John's shoulder was the angels. They're like, so that's what it's all about. So that's what God, that's why he did, that's what Calvary was for. That's why he did that with Moses. That was a type over there. Oh, this is going, the angels started understanding what really was going on. And so now in all heaven is like, the elders, 420 Israel, you know those elders are Israel's. They were rejoicing because for a while they didn't understand. They thought, well, you know, God, what's going on? What's going on here? They didn't understand what was going on. And those souls under the altar, Lord, how long? See, everybody's in the dark on it. Nobody knew what was happening. All heaven was in trouble because they didn't know what was going on. But when that lamb stepped forth and took that book and loosed the seals and opened up, everybody started looking. John said, I see. John said, I'm good. I see my name.
Amen.
The angels are like, oh, hey, we were never going to be lost. This was all part of that plan.
Yeah.
And the elders like, oh, so they're going to get the, we're going to get our other half a day. That other 3.5 years, we're going to get that. Don't worry about it. There's 144,000 of us coming yet. We got this part of it. And all of this was revealed with the opening of the seals. Everything in heaven started rejoicing. Could you imagine how much noise was going on? You thought they were holy, holy, holy before the opening of the seals. But when the seals got open, they got louder.
Amen.
Here at this point, the book's open. Here at this point, the lamb has stepped forth. Here at this point, the seals are ripped off. Now the seals are off. The book is open. The lamb stepped forth. And God's got to do something. God's got to do something with all of this.
Amen.
So he's standing there with all of this. And then he says over here, now let's just flip over to chapter 8.
Come on.
Bring it.
At the opening of the seals, we could read all of them, but at the opening of the last seal, chapter 8, I want to read this because this is important. This has to do with chapter 10. This has to do with Thessalonians 4. This has to do with Luke 17.
Wow.
This has to do with everything. Chapter 8, verse 1. And when he had opened up the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. Wait a minute. We just read in chapter 5, the hosannas was going up. Tambourines playing. Everybody shouting, having a good old time. Everything. But all of a sudden, it got quiet.
Amen.
Do you know you only praise the king when he's in the room?
Amen.
When he leaves the room, you put your tambourine down and rest. Yeah. You sit in the corner. Whew, that was a long day. I couldn't wait till he got out of here. Silence in heaven.
That's right.
Only way there's silence in heaven is if God's not there.
That's right.
And if God is not there, remember, this was the last of the seals. This was what happening when that lamb come forth and took the seals. When he started ripping those seals off, he was sending those seals somewhere. But the last one, the seventh seal, was different than all the other seals. Because that last seal, when it was opened up, heaven got silent.
Yes.
With the sixth seal, there was still noise in heaven. They were still looking at the beast, and they were still looking at the horse riders, and still watching all these things going down on earth. They were watching all this happen. But then the seventh seal got ripped off by the Lamb, and there's where'd he go?
Amen. That's right.
That seventh seal released God from heaven.
Amen.
Now we go back over to chapter 10.
Right.
And we say, I saw another mighty angel come to. There you go. There's that same angel of chapter 1. There's that same angel of chapter 5. There's that same angel of chapter 8. He's no longer in heaven. The hosanna stop up there. And then he come down here. And he put his foot on land and sea and said, time shall be no more. It was over. It was done with. But when he came down here, verse 2 says, and he had in his hand a little book open. It's not, wasn't closed. Now, before it was closed, nobody even in heaven could look into it. So if he brings the book down to earth, then that means the people on earth can now look into it. He came down with the little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and left foot on the earth and cried with a loud voice as when a lion, there's that lion. There's that lion. John saw a lion. They said John was going to see a lion, but John turned and he saw a lamb, but it was a lamb because it was a sacrifice. But then he comes down here on earth, and here's the no more lamb. He's a lion again.
Right.
As a lion roared. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices.
Right.
There you go. There you go. There you go. Those seven thunders uttered those voices. Now, the seven thunders and the seven seals are different. They're not the same.
No.
I used to get them mixed up. I used to think the thunder was the seals was thunder, 7-7, it's all God.
Yeah.
That's true, but it's a little deeper than that.
That's right.
Those seals was the hidden and lost word of God that was bound up in that book that we didn't understand.
Right.
The thunders was God revealing what those seals were.
Yes. Right.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
Amen.
So the seals were brought down here, but when that angel come down here, he came and he thundered those seals. He came and thundered to us, and when he thundered, we were able to actually understand what was going on in this book.
Yeah. Right.
That's why John said, blessed are they that understand that the time's at hand. So, that mighty angel come down here in verse 7. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he declared to his servants the prophet. What prophets? All the ones that wrote the Bible. Everything that was written in that Bible was talked about by God in types and shadows, but when he opened up the seals, and he sent those seals down here as word. Then God said,
Time shall be no more. It's over. I'm done. I'm finished with it. And here you're looking, and the little book is open, and the seven thunders uttered their voices. What were they uttering? What were they uttering? The seven thunders were uttering the revealed word of God. And what they were doing, first it thundered to the prophet. Because God does nothing unless he first reveals it to his servants, the prophet. Right. The prophet was standing here, verse 7, the prophet, Brother Branham, said that there was a heavenly angel and an earthly angel. And that heavenly angel came down at the time of the seventh angel sounding. So the heavenly angel, the Lord himself, the one with the rainbow above his head, the one who was open, the worthy to open the book, the only one that was worthy to open the book, he came down here to a prophet, because God does nothing until he first reveals it to his servant, the prophet.
Right.
And God thundered to the prophet. God spoke. God revealed. See, when God speaks, it's a revelation. Man speaks, it's not always a revelation. It's a good knowledge, or maybe bad knowledge. It's not a revelation. But anytime God speaks, there's a revelation behind it.
Amen.
Anything he says. And name it, anything in the Bible. He told Moses, he said, Moses, go down to Egypt. I'm going to deliver. I've heard the cry of my people. I'm going to deliver them. That was God thundering to Moses. And here he got a seventh angel on the earth. And when he got that seventh angel on the earth, it said, time shall be no more.
Right.
We got to understand that.
Yeah.
What time?
Right.
What time? Redemption time. Yeah. Church age time.
Right.
The time of the gospel.
Yeah. Right.
Calling on the bride, the building of the body.
Right.
All of that was over.
Oh.
Earth's time is still on, but that redemption time was over.
Yes.
Redemption is over to this world.
Amen.
You say, well, people just getting, they're still getting saved. If you get redeemed in this hour that we're living in, it's because you were already accounted for under the seventh age.
Amen.
God is not out calling everybody now. And if you're here today, you should thank God, because God already included you in that whole redemption package.
That's right.
And that's why you had to hear the word, because there was no use. You hear the word and you're like, this is easy to understand. It's pure. It's easy. God, just, the reason you're understanding it, because that same thunder that thundered to the prophet has thundered to you.
Right.
You couldn't understand. That's why most people can't understand this message, because God's never thundered to them.
Amen.
You need the seven thunders to thunder to you. You need to understand what this word is really. And the word is not just education. You're not going to educate yourself into this. Study all you want to. Read all you want to. Read the quotes all you want to. You won't be able to tie your shoe.
Yeah. That's right.
You can't tie nothing. Got a bunch of quotes, but don't have nothing. God never dealt with you. You don't have a clue about who you are. Don't have a clue about what this word is. Don't have no idea about the opening of the seals. But yet you call yourself a believer.
Come on.
It's going to take more than your studies. It's going to take more. See, when that angel come down here, he come down to thunder.
That's right. Amen.
He shut heaven down.
Said,
I'm gone fishing. I'm leaving. I'm out of the house. I'm gone for a while. I've left the building. I'm down on earth. And when he come down here, he came down here to reveal the Bible. The same book that we've read for 2,000 years. The same book that nobody understood. The same book that everybody played around with and guessed and tried to figure it out. But God come down and he thundered to a prophet.
That's right.
Those seven thunders, the sounding of those seven thunders happened to William Branham. You say, I don't believe that he was the prophet. You don't have to believe he's the prophet. Doesn't make any sense to you. And you know what? If you don't have the prophet, you'll never get the thunders.
That's right.
He'll never thunder you till you.
If you can't get to where the prophet is, you will never get to where the understanding is.
That's right.
Because God does nothing until he first reveals it to his servant, the prophet. And when God reveals it to his prophet, the prophet thunders to you, and then you hear God's voice. Because that's what the prophet is. It's God's voice to you. When you hear God's voice and you believe God's word, God come and personally thunders to you. He personally, he's down here thundering, people. He didn't just thunder to the prophet and went back and sat on the throne again. He's been here since 1963.
Amen.
And those seven thunders was the complete revelation of the word of God revealed to the bride of Jesus Christ through the prophet.
Come on.
And people get stuck on Brother Branham. I'm not trying to get you stuck on Brother Branham. I'm trying to tell you God does nothing unless he first reveals it to his prophet. But once he reveals it to his prophet, I want you to get stuck on the thunders that came out of his mouth. Because that same thunder that thundered to him has to thunder to you, or you're not even one of his. You can love this message. You can love the prophet. You can read the books. You can read the Bible. But if it never ties, it never runs, never makes sense to you, it never quickens to you, then God is not dealing with you.
Amen.
I'm sorry. It's nothing else. You can't go back to the throne and say, put a little blood for my ignorance because I want to be, you know, the hour we're living in, there is no ignorance allowed. And the hour that we're living in, that it is filthy will be filthy still. Yes, and that it is holy still. Now it's come to a point. Now God's not sitting on the throne playing intercessor as a high priest. He came down here as judge. He's judging the entire world. He's judging the entire thing because now it's God, the judge, the king. He's down here now. He's not, you know, the paps. Brother Brennan said the judge wears the pap separate differently than that priest. Priest wears the thing around his waist, and the judge puts it up here. Well, he's not high priest today. And I don't care how much you try to plead with God and say, well, I want to have the high priest speak for me. He's not going to speak for you. Now you have to get with it or it's on your hands. You know, there was a point that when the door was open, Noah could let anybody in the ark. But there came a point that God closed the door. There came a point when God said, it is finished. And when God said it is finished, I don't care how much you pleaded. You couldn't get on board. Brother Branham preached the souls in prison now. I got all this here. I put my cart before the horse. Brother Branham preached souls in prison. Because Brother Branham tied the thunders to the third pool.
Yes, sir.
I was looking at that last night. I said, he moved from thundering to the third pool. And the third pool was preached to the bride, and it was also preached to the total lost. Those that couldn't be saved. Jesus' third pool, when he preached, let me get that. And I'm skipping on down through here. When Jesus preached the third pool, he went to hell, and he preached the souls that are in prison now. He preached to them, but he didn't preach them to try to convince them. He preached to them to let them know what they had already missed. Now, let me get, you see how far I'm trying to scoot on down through here. Now, Brother Branham said, just to show you how he put it together. He said, if you want something to happen, now you have to take my word on this. If I'm planning on doing something, I know better than to tell anybody about it. Not that that person would tell it, but Satan will hear it. See, he can't get it in my heart there as long as God has got it closed up with the Holy Spirit. So that's between me and God. See, he doesn't know nothing about it until you speak it. Then he hears it. And then, see, that's why it's important what you confess. And what you tell, or what you say, or what you're going to do.
Amen.
You might be planning on doing something good for somebody. Don't tell the devil.
Amen.
Don't let him know. And I've tried. I tell people I do a certain thing, and watch the devil cut off every will he can and get there, see, and beat me to it. But if I can get the revelation from God and just don't say nothing about it, then that's different. Remember, Satan will try to impersonate. He tried to impersonate everything in the church will do. He tried to do it. We notice it through the Antichrist. But this one thing he cannot impersonate. There'll be no mimic on this, see? Because he don't know it. There's no way for him to know it. It's the third pool. He just knows nothing about it, see? He doesn't understand it. See, Brother Branham was tying that third pool into coming on the Lord and tying it into those seals. Because remember, John was told not to write it. And then John didn't write it because the one who was going to reveal it was going to be Jesus himself. And when Jesus was the only one to reveal it, when he came down to earth, it's still going to be Jesus himself who reveals it. Amen. It's not, we're not doing this, we're not believing this because of William Branham. We're not following this message because of William Branham. We're following the message because it's the Word of God.
Amen.
Yeah, I didn't follow Brother Childers because he's a good man and he's Brother Childers. I followed him because he preached the Word of God.
Amen.
And what he preached to me, I put together and I put in my life. The thunders thundered to me personally about what Brother Childers preached that he got from Brother Branham, who got it from the angel.
Right.
So if that thunder never happens to you personally, you can come to this church all you want. And I don't mind. Because I pray someday he thunders to you. But until he does, it's never going to be fruitful in your life. It's never going to be the Word made flesh. It'll be some partial mix up of black and white and red. It'll be pale. That's what you're going to offer here. I'm talking about offering here. When you come to this church and God doesn't thunder to you personally, all you are going to be giving us is a pale horse. Mixed up of little everything. Some message, some not. Some church, some world. Some in, some out. Testify one day, next day you're down. One day you're pleasing God, next day you're on your way out the door. One day you're heaven bound, next day you want to kill yourself. You're just up and down, in and out, and all around. It's like, you know what? That's the Sapel horse.
Amen.
When he left that throne, he come down here as pure light. And when he come down here as pure light, we should clearly be able to see where we're at.
Amen.
When the revelation has come down, we should clearly be able to see where we're at.
Right.
We should be able to see what God's doing. We can see what he was, what he is, and what he's going to do.
Right.
If we can see.
Amen.
If you get enough light around you, you can look around you. No matter which direction you look, you see everything. When the sun's up, I can look around and see everything.
Right.
The sad thing about nighttime is when you don't have sunlight and it's dark, you can make stuff up in your mind because you see shadows and you think they're people. You see something, you think it's a dog or you think... See, when it's dark, you make stuff up.
Yeah. Amen.
Your imagination runs wild. I was walking the other day through the house, and I know my house. Thought I did. I was walking, I turned the light off, and I thought, well, I'll just turn this light off here, and then I'll just go into the bedroom. And I turned that light off and ran right into the couch. Couldn't see. I thought I knew where it was, but it wasn't where I thought it was. See, that's the church world.
Amen.
They're so blinded right now, they can't see nothing. And in Goshen, we got plenty of light. We're sitting here. We can see everything. We know it all because it's thunder to us. The same thunders that thundered in Revelation 10 and 7 is the same thunder that thundered to you in Revelation 8 because he said you're going to prophesy again. You're going to take the same revelation that God has given to the prophet, the same word, the same thunders, the same seals. God tore those seals off and sent them down his word. But when he tore that seventh seal off, he came down and brought it himself. Because when he come as the seventh seal, he come as the opening of all the word. And he personally reveals to a believer in this hour, every one of us. It thunders to every one of us. We all get the thunders. It's not just Brother Brown. We think, oh, he thundered to Brother Brown. Yeah, he did. But we got the same thunders because the same God that revealed it to him is the same God that reveals it to us. You can't sit here with your own little thinking and have a perfect understanding. But if those thunders sounded to you personally, You know what was. You know what is. And you know what is to come. You're not tossed. You're not worried. And now all we're doing is feasting on the body word of the Son of Man. We're eating this word. We're taking it in. And every time God's word comes forth, we hear the word and it thunders. I get thunder to every service. Voice of God talks to me every service. I hear something I didn't know, and next thing I know, it's like I know. That's God. That's the thunders. And it's happening all the time. It just didn't happen then. It's happening right now. What I'm speaking to you this morning is God thundering to you, and you should be able to pick it up. And if you can't pick it up, ask God, somehow help me. Help thou my unbelief. Help me to pick to the word. That's why I tell you to come to the house. That's why I tell you to get here. Because when you come to the house of God, God can thunder to you. He can speak to you, and he can reveal this thing to you. Amen. Outside of that, you'll never get it. Amen. The sounding of the seven thunders happened to the prophet. Amen. And he turned around and he preached it to us. Right. And the same one that preached it to him is the same one that revealed it to him. And the same one that preached it to you is the same one that reveals it to you. And it's not a different thunder. It's not a different God. And it's not even hard. People say, oh, I got to understand the seven thunders. No, let me tell you how simple it is. Seven thunders is just God speaking to you personally. What is this new birth? You ask? It's God personally revealed to you. And there's never been a time like the hour we're living in now that a bride can actually hear from God direct. Right. Right. Hasn't happened since the time of Jesus. Right. Once again will God speak to his people, Jeremiah. Yes. 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 He don't have a mouthpiece on the earth.
Right.
The same way that you got yours is the same way that you give it to others. God spoke to the prophet. The prophet spoke to us, and the same thunder followed that word. Boom.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
And if you speak the word, the same thunder that was in him will be thundering out of you.
Absolutely.
You become the seven thunders.
Amen.
You become the word of God.
Amen.
You become the final voice to the final age. That's why the rapture is going to happen and the bride's going to be right in the middle of it, because the seven thunders are bringing a rapture and faith to us that the world's never known.
Amen.
Now she's on her feet. She knows what it is. She's not tossed to and fro. See, every time I come to church, I get better.
Yeah. Yes.
Every time I come to church, I hear more word.
Right.
Every time I come to church, God thunders to me.
Yeah.
He talks to me. He reveals something else to me. I don't leave here with him. I had three pages of notes Wednesday night, just from the three brothers ministering.
Yeah.
I got three pages off of that. He said, well, I didn't write nothing down because it wasn't a preacher, so I didn't think it was important. God was thundering Wednesday night.
Yeah.
If you're sitting there trying to wait around till somebody gets here and calls himself a preacher, You're missing half of God. You don't come to church because you think, oh, it's just them. They're going to just say the same old thing over and over. People think I preach the same old thing over and over again. You just don't hear it. Because I'm talking, I'm covering some ground. And some heard the thunder. And some heard a voice. When God speaks from this place, I hear the voice of God. Some people just hear thunder.
Yeah.
They just hear it thunder, rah, rah, just making a bunch of noise. And it doesn't do nothing to them. It doesn't quicken anything to them. It doesn't even enthuse them. It doesn't make them want to get up and, like Sister Christie said, let me just walk around. Just let me just take a, whoa, Lord, I just want to take a ride around this place. Somebody looking at that and all they're hearing is thunder. They think, oh, that's just Sister Christie. Oh, no, that was God thundering.
Amen.
That was God talking, said, you need to take a break. You need to set aside all of your tradition and just take a walk with me. When Brother Branham was out there in the woods, God told him, said, right in the middle of a storm, God said, come walk with me. Come walk with me. And when these storms of life are coming your way, don't just let it take you over, but come walk with me. Come walk with me. Let God have it, because he's down here now. He's not up there. He's down here. And he's right in the midst of his people. But as much as he's talking, all that some people hear is the thunder. That's why they can walk away. That's why they don't take it serious. That's why they don't make it first place. That's why they can take it or leave it. That's why they can come to church and stay home. I can't stay home. I can't wait to get to the house of God, because God talks to me when I come here. And he doesn't just talk to me when the preacher get up. You need to get here to hear every song. You need to get up and hear every testimony. I'm trying to point you people out and let you understand that God is in this place. He's in the body. He's in the ministry. He's in the laity. He's in the brothers. He's in the sisters. He's speaking from the first song to the last. Amen. And anytime you missing it, you're hearing just thunder. It doesn't mean that much to you. Just noise. Just noise. Matter of fact, when Molly hears thunder, it scares her. To the world, it scares them. It don't mean nothing. But to me, I'm getting ready for church before I get ready for church. Oh, you don't have to set an alarm clock on me on Sunday morning. You don't have to remind me it's a Sunday. You don't have to tell me what day of the week it is. I come prepared to serve God. I come prepared to hear from God. I sit there at my house and I'm waiting. I'm dressed by 9 o'clock. I'm sitting there just waiting. I'm waiting for the time to go. And by the time it's time to go, I am set to go. I've already got some songs in my heart. I've already got a message on my mind. I already got some praise in my heart. I'm all ready to go. And by the time I get here, I'm not coming here to get loaded. I'm loaded before I get here. And I know that the thunders are happening here every time we come to the house. That's why I listen to every testimony. That's why I hear every testimony, every song. I don't want to miss none of it. You say, well, I won't get there till 11. Preacher ain't going to get up till 11. You miss half of everything God's going to say. Or you say, well, I don't feel like going today. I'm not going to go. You missing what God's saying. I want God to thunder to me. I want God to talk to me. I want him to reveal himself to me. I need this. I've got to have it. I need it more than I need natural food. I need it more than I need water. I need it more than I need anything else this world has to offer. Because God himself has come down here and he's talking to me. And to show you that I believe he's talking to me, I take it serious.
Yes. Amen.
The sounding of the seven thunders.
Amen.
God is talking on the earth right now. He's not up there on the throne. He's not even opening the seals now. He's not doing any of that. He's down here. And he's down here revealing his book. Not just the book of Revelation. People in this message, they think God's just revealing the book of Revelation. No, God has explained the whole Bible to us. We didn't understand the Bible. We didn't even understand the Godhead. We didn't. You say, well, I come from apostolic. We were one God. You still had Trinitarian doctrine. Because if you don't include yourself in the Godhead, you don't have the Godhead right. And nobody had the Godhead right when we come to this hour. Because you have to be able to say, I and my Father are one. When you see me, you see the Father. People don't, they didn't, they can't say that. They get nervous in this message because we say we're God. They get nervous when you call yourself God. But you know what? He's here. He's here. He's in his people. He's in his songs. He's in his testimonies. He's in every. And when we come to church, it's the seven thunders sounding. It's God moving amongst his people. God revealing. That's why I tell you, my prescription for whatever ails you is to get to the house. It's been that way for a long time. Because I know if you can get to the house of God, God can heal you. He can save you. He can speak to you. He can give you answers. He can give you direction. He can get you ready for the next week. He can get you ready for the next year. He can get you ready for whatever you need, as long as you get to the house. But if you're dragging your feet even getting to the house, God ain't going to be able to do nothing for you. And you'll wonder, why not I getting better? Because you don't have God first. I know you don't have for God first because you ain't in the house. We should be running in these doors. We should come. Wednesday night, you know, I got to confess. Wednesday night, I was so full. I was so rejoicing over Jay's status, even Wednesday. And I got in the room here, and I sat on the organ and I started playing. I can't even remember the song I was playing now. But it got good to me. Victory is mine. Is that what it was? Victory is mine. Yeah, I was thinking, I was singing, Victory's mine. The more I sing it, though, oh, wait a minute. God's give us victory. Victory is mine. And there was only about, I don't know, 5, 6 maybe in here. And it wasn't even time for church. And the snobs would be. But I'm sorry. I was rejoicing. I had heard about Jay's status. And I was turned on. And I was saying, I've got victory. Victory's mine. And I'm singing that and I'm singing and I'm singing. Y'all don't know. I was just gone. And y'all come in and as y'all were coming in late. No, y'all weren't late. I was early. Y'all come in. And the church already hopping. And I saw you. You got in your seat and you're like, victory is mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you join in. And more people came in the door like, church is starting.
Can I get some?
And the more people came in, the more people sang, and I just kept singing. I just kept singing because I was rejoicing. God had done a great thing. When God does something great, you give him the praise for it. And I'm sitting up there praising God, and by the time I got done, everybody's in the church, everybody's singing, the service already started, and we were on fire. Now, what if you came in about an hour later? You say, you did that Wednesday? God did that Wednesday. And you miss God. You say, well, I didn't need it. If it was for me, I'd have been there in time. God gives me what I need when I get there on time. He'll always give me one. No, shut up, liar. Devil, no. You need every word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Where's God's mouth? Here. Now it's not God in one man. He won't dwell in one man again. So you need to understand it's thundering around here. And you need to be a part of it. You need to get every bit of it because you want to understand what God's saying. You don't want to come here and hit and miss. And maybe I missed something that God said. Or maybe I'll catch it on the internet. God ain't even going to bless that. You need to be where he is. That's what I'm telling the early is you need to be in the house. Because God's word said, gather yourself together. Even that much more. He said, well, they don't believe like I do. They don't. Don't worry about that. Right. They could walk a donkey up in there. Yeah. Put it behind that pulpit. And God will make that donkey thunder.
Come on. Amen.
Because his bride's there.
Right.
They'll preach. We get preachers coming here and they're like, oh, I don't know what happened. I have my message. I'm way off. I always try to pat them. I always like, don't worry about it. We understand. God's here. God's got you. I need to have God speak to me, so just be still. And they're like, oh, I don't know what's going on here. This is the way it worked when I preached it last time. I'm like, that's all right. Yeah. See, God will thunder out of you. And God will do things out of you. But you got to come where he's at.
Amen.
He's not going to do this half-heartedly. If you half-heartedly serve God, he's going to half-heartedly serve you.
Come on.
So I can't get answers. You ain't praying hard enough. What have you done for God lately?
Come on.
Right? Yeah. Well, you said you can't live good enough to do it, and you can't live. I know. I also said you can ride in a car, you could ride on a bumper. A lot of times you fall off the bumper, you're getting drugged behind the car. But he's thundering, he's talking, he's dealing with us. This ain't me, this ain't man. I was explaining to somebody the other day, I was like, you got to understand, God is in here. He's in here, he's in there, he's in there, he's in there. He's in there, and he'll say things and do things out of you that you don't even know. What he's doing. People try to. I told somebody, I said, y'all use me like a Ouija board. Because I know God speaks out of here. And I don't control it. I don't say when and where it happens. But God does move, and I watch it. I've seen it for a long time. And God will speak. And next thing I know, it comes to pass. And they're like, how did you know? I didn't. I was just there. I'm not responsible for that. When I get up here to preach, like I said, I give up on this. Look, it goes all the way up here, and it goes all the way down there. But it doesn't, that's me. But what you heard this morning was God. Because
yes.
It doesn't matter about notes. Doesn't matter about how much you study.
Yeah.
When you get in a place where God can get in there and you, Brother Branham said the real gift is a gift to get out of the way. When I can get out of the way, God can thunder. And when he thunders, you can actually receive the thunders and become those thunders. That's what's sounding in his day.
Yes.
That's what we're living in. Yes. That's what God has done. And then I'm not even about notes. I don't care about how many pages there are. I'm just saying that when you get up there and you get out of the way, God thunders in this place. And if you want to hear from God, get to the house.
Amen.
If you want answers from God, get to the house.
Yes.
If you want healing, if you want answers, if you want whatever you need, get to the house. Put God first.
Amen.
Let him thunder to you. Let him talk to you. He'll bring healing. You can get healed right while you're sitting.
Yeah. Amen.
You can get answers while you're sitting.
Amen.
You can get direction while you're sitting.
Yes, sir.
You can get hope while you're sitting.
Amen.
That's what you're in the presence of. You're in the presence of the same one who was sitting on the throne for 2,000 years. You're in the presence of the same one that ripped the seals off. You're the same one that brought the seals down his word. You're the same one that revealed it to the prophet, and now he's turning around in verse 8 through 11, revealing it to you, and saying, now you go prophesy. Why did he tell you prophesy again? Because it's going to be the same thunders that thunder through the prophet. It's going to be God speaking through you. That's how simple that is. That's how simple it is. The sounding of the seven thunders. That's what that was all about. And there's so much in there that it's just, you couldn't cover it in one. And I gave up. I said, Lord, you just do what you want. But it's God down here thundering now. Those seven thunders, it's a complete revelation of God's word. That's what the seven thunders are. And now that we have it, what are you going to do with this Jesus called Christ? He's on your hands. You're sitting here today. What are you going to do with it? You're going to take him in? You're going to say, Lord, you know what? I hadn't taken you serious. I let things get between me and you. I took you for granted, and I didn't even expect you to be speaking through the body. I just expected you to get up when the preacher gets up. I just expected you to speak to three people, Brother Nate, Brother Jeremiah, and Brother Jay. But Lord, I've taken you lightly. I've not looked to see you where you are. And you're in your body. Not just in the ministry. Not just in the prophet. God put it, the final voice to the final ages in the bride. The final thunders are going to happen through the bride. Lord, if I've ever taken you lightly, from this day forward, let me look for you. How am I going to find you? I'm going to find the word. When I hear the word, I don't care if it's coming through a sister, a brother, a kid, an adult. If I hear the word of God coming from the mouth of God, I'll recognize you, Lord.
Yes.
And I won't have respect of persons thinking, well, I don't like Sister Sue. She thinks she's something else. I don't pay no attention to her. No, Lord, that's your mouth.
Right.
When she gets up and says something, that's you speaking. When Christy invites you to run with her, that ain't Christy.
What?
That ain't Christy. Christy's like, I wouldn't even plan on that. But that's God. And that's God inviting you. It could be so simply, it could be simply God inviting you to come and take a walk with him. And you could sit there saying, Sister Christy thinks she's something else. And all the time, that was the seventh thunder sounding, sending out a call to the body.
Amen.
You say, man, I should have got up. I was on my mind, but Satan fought me, and I didn't do it. Lord, if I've ever taken you lightly,
yes.
If I never listened to your word through your body, if I haven't done like I should have done when you talked to me, Lord, let me listen to those thunders. Let me let those thunders sound. And let this word mean more to me when it comes forth, because now the book is open. It's wide open. We can understand every bit of it. That's why we can have a Bible study and not even be studied. But we come in here and just from the hip, people ask questions. And then God, through the body, it answers it. That's God. Do you realize that's the way it was in the upper room? It wasn't Peter in the upper room just saying, I'm the boss. You know, Jesus gave me the keys. I'm the man in charge. So y'all better listen to me, because I know what I'm doing. There was 120 licks of fire. One for everybody. It was God moving into his body. And in this congregation, it's God moving in his body. And you need to understand it, because those thunders are sounding. They sound every service. They sound every time we get together. They sound every time the preacher gets up, every time there's song sang. That song sang for a reason. That testimony is for a reason. That move is for a reason. And if you can see that, then you realize that God has your life in his hands, and he is speaking to you every time he comes in these doors, and you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. You say, well, I just want to come in time to hear God tell me the body chain's on. Well, it might not come through me. It might come through Micah. Micah might be sitting there and say, I hate to interrupt your service, but it's time for a body change. You won't come and go with me? Now what are you going to do? The thunder. That's the voice of God. And when the voice of God sounds, we're going to get up and we're going to move. And it's the same way with the word when it comes forth now. When the word comes forth now, you get with it. You don't waste time. You don't figure out, well, there's another way, on and on and on. No, this is the only way. The final voice is in the bride. So if you don't hear from us, you won't hear from God.
That's right.
You say, well, I love God. You don't love God any more than you love his word.
Right.
And his word is in his bride.
Right.
So you got to love his bride.
Amen.
God help us to recognize the sounding of those seven thunders. Amen. And realize that it moved all the way from heaven. It's moved all the way down to little bitty 1744 Superior Avenue. And here we are rejoicing. The thunders are sounding. There's silence in heaven. There's not silent down here. He is thundering loud and clear.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word, for this opportunity today to be here. Ask you, Lord, to just help us to recognize your voice, not your person, but your voice. Because when you speak, you can speak from anywhere in this body. And Lord, as long as it matches the word and ties with the scripture, then Lord, that's you. And Father, we pray that if we've taken it lightly, taken it for granted, and we have, Lord, help us to just take it more sincere. If we haven't pushed, let us push. Press towards the mark. Do our part. Do our job. Hold up that bloodstained banner. You stood in the gap for us, now Lord, let us stand in the gap for you. This world has no God except for what they see in us. We're the only mercy that they're going to receive. Their only grace that they're going to be able to pick up. And Father, as we walk this earth, we want to manifest you in such a way that your love, mercy, and grace can be spread about in such a way that we can take as many as, Lord, you have ordained for us to take. Continue to be with us and burn our hearts and let us be more sincere and more on fire for you, Lord. We do love you, and we want to be here for you to represent you in the best manner that we can. We know that your word has spoken. We heard the thunders. It's revealed itself, and it's changed our lives. Lord, someday it will change our bodies. But until then, Father, let us be the example, the help that we can. Let us recognize you and your people and let it have the perfect work in our lives, because it'll match exactly what you saw from before the foundation of the world. Thank you, Lord. Touch those that are sick. Continue to be with Jay. Bring him forth, Lord. We need him. Lord, be with Dawn and John and them on their trip out of town and comfort their hearts and their family. Touch those that are sick that need a touch for you in their body. And bring us back safely Wednesday night. Lord, bless the service there with Brother Alex. And just help us, Lord, to get in there and pull and just look to you, because you will speak. And we will never fail to give you the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All is well. We have heard the message, Shalom. And all is well. Yes.
I just want to talk about what those seven thunders mean to me. If you guys knew where I came from, and like, I'm a conqueror. I have peace of mind that is beyond. Like, this word gives me every single thing in my life, and things don't always, they don't always go the way you want.
Mm-mm.
Boy, I can handle things. I mean, Doug has been with me for almost 24 years, and if God hadn't come across my path,
right,
I'd be a mess.
Amen. We all would.
I'd be, that's why there's drug addiction and alcoholism and whatever, but, something happened on Monday, and what you guys, you know how Satan will talk to you, that stupid
thing. Oh, yeah.
I don't even like to mention his name, but...
We know who you're talking about.
Right, we don't. For years, though, and I have Doug Allen that helps me with all of these things, but I'm just going to give you a real-life example. On Monday, something happened, and, daggone, there comes those old feelings again, and I'm like, you know what? Man, And... it just brings it all back, 100%, full force. And Doug is, he's given me great advice over the years. You know, Ray, you're giving, don't even let that, you were talking about that little bird. Don't let that bird land.
Right.
But what happened on Wednesday, Brother James Bond got up and he started talking about forgiveness. And he said, if you don't forgive, then God can't forgive you. I want to be right. So I said, Brother Moore, let me talk to you. And I couldn't even get it out without like 30 seconds of me saying one thing. Brother Moore came down and said, bam. He said, Renee, it's not you. You don't hate. You do forgive. It's a memory. And Satan is trying to bring back that memory. And you don't have to worry. Just it's a memory. Okay, go on. And that was that's what I needed. That's that thunder that came and just...
Amen.
He doesn't know the situation. He doesn't know the details. He doesn't know all that stuff. But if you're struggling with forgiveness, you did forgive.
That's right.
It's just a memory, and it's okay.
Amen.
But I just love this place. I love what it does for me and my family. I want to give praise to my God for giving me a great dad. You know, he took care of me all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And Doug is just, he adopted my little girl and loved her as his own. He's just been a rock solid example for all of us. And
amen. Amen.
I thought I'd share this thought before I forget it. When Pastor was just talking about love and zeal, I was thinking about a zeal for the word.
Mm-hmm.
I get upset. I don't know about you guys, but it's almost like fighting upset when I hear people mutilating God's word. I mean, it just makes me cringe.
Yeah.
Even when,
they don't know no better.
But, I should have that same zeal when I hear someone misalign my brothers and sisters. That's God's word in action.
That's right.
I know growing up, if someone messed with my little brother, I may beat him up all the time, but if you lay a hand on him, we're throwing down. And that's how we should be with our family. And that... they hit me, and I figured I don't want to lose it, so I'll share it.
Thank you.
Amen. And don't forget, no service tonight. Happy Father's Day, fathers. You sisters, treat your man good. I told them to treat y'all good on Mother's Day, so now it's payback.
So enjoy the evening. And like I said, pray for us. We'll be flying out on Tuesday. Service Wednesday we'll have here. And Brother Alex will be here. So God bless you. All is well. Is all well? Amen. 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 All is well. Yes, all is well. For we have heard the message, Shalom, and all is well. It's all.